We are in a sermon series in the book of Proverbs called Wise Guy, and in it, we're actually issuing a bit of a challenge, a 31-day Proverbs challenge. And actually, I don't have a bulletin this morning. Is there any way I could borrow somebody's bulletin and their pen? That would be...
Give me half of it.
Right. All right. Well, I got some of it. Where's the good part? There's the good part. All right. Okay. So, the challenge... actually, could we put the sermons... We can't. Oh, that's interesting. Well, all right then. All right. So the challenge in 31 days is to be reading through the book of Proverbs one chapter at a time. So about 100 adults last week responded to the 31-day Proverbs challenge, saying that throughout the month of July, be reading the book of Proverbs. So July 1, we were reading chapter 1. July 2, chapter 2. July 3. Who is already kind of on that track? All right, good job. We've got resources online. We're sharing our ideas. It is not too late because it's only the 3rd of July. You can still get on this train, the 31-day Proverbs challenge. Because here's what I'm hoping that people will do. And it's a very simple illustration, I guess. But the goal of this series is that we connect with God. And that one of the first thoughts every day is, Lord, how are you leading and guiding me today? So we open up the Bible, when we pray, and we say, Lord, speak to me through your word, because I want to hear from you today. And as we do, we connect. Now, connecting doesn't take very long. I mean, it's not even necessarily... specific, you know, really complicated. It's just that the first thoughts in the day, Lord, how are you speaking to me and leading me and guiding me today? How are you guiding me today? Because my goal is that throughout the 31 days of July, you kind of get in the habit of, like, the first thing I do in the day is take just a few moments and seek God. Lord, how are you guiding me today? And God promises to speak to us through his words. So, you know, we open up the Bible, Lord, how are you speaking me through your word today? Because you see, life gets complicated, and you know, we're just so busy and just doing stuff, we don't even notice how we get disconnected. So every single day, first part of the day, Lord, help me to be connected with you. John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Or you could say, you are the light and I am the current. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. God promises that as we stay connected to him on a daily basis, our light shines, and we know love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's the supernatural byproduct of staying connected to God. You want more love in your marriage? You want to feel more loving? Stay connected to God, because he promises that as you stay connected, supernaturally, not necessarily all at once or in, you know, fixing all your problems just lickety-split, but you will have more love in your life. You want more peace? You want a little less stress? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy. Who doesn't want more joy in their life? Peace. So that's why I'm hoping that Proverbs for us is a kind of an easy, because I mean, it's very simple to understand. Anybody that can read it, but just on a daily basis. Say, Lord, how are you leading and guiding me today through your word so that we get connected? Feels like a children's sermon, but it kind of is. And yet we fall for it all the time, don't we? I'm so busy. I just don't have time to connect with the Lord. Look how busy I am. I'm so busy. And I just... But then I just feel distant from God. I just have no peace in my life. I have no joy in my life. I have no satisfaction in my life. Oh, where is God? Where's God? Where's God for me? I better stop going to church because I don't feel like I'm a good person anymore. I don't feel like I really belong there anymore. And I'm just so busy, I have no time. It doesn't take long to get reconnected. To get reconnected. Anyway, so that's my goal. And my hope is that even if you haven't filled in that card, because I can't get some of you to fill in a card for anything. I mean, you're not gonna sign anything at all. But more than 100 people have gone public to say, I'm gonna trust the Lord. And I'm gonna seek him daily. And you know, if you miss a day, it's not a big deal. Just get reconnected. Just get reconnected. You discover your light bulb got unplugged. Don't smash the light bulb. Just plug it back in. Just plug it back in. So even today, even during the sermon, you tune out a little bit. You go, I could get into this. I could do the 31-day Proverbs challenge. Double dog dare you. God's word is powerful. It will change your life. We learned last week about there's groups of people that Proverbs talks about. There's the simpleton, the one who just doesn't know. The antidote for that is to know. Start studying God's word. Start to see what God says. There's also the mocker, the one that asks lots and lots of questions. The skeptic, the scoffer. Especially if you're tracking some of the teaching videos I'm putting up on YouTube and Facebook, you'll find mockers. I'm starting to attract them. It's wonderful. People that say, hey, if you're studying God's word, you're wasting your time. God doesn't talk to people. If you think that God talks to you, you must be nuts. And yet God's word promises to speak to us, not necessarily in an audible voice, not necessarily in something that fixes everything all at once, but God promises to communicate with his people. If you seek me, you will find me, the Bible says, if you seek me with all of your heart. So we connect. But there's lots of questions. A lot of them are completely legitimate, but we can also hide behind those questions. We can hide behind that humor. We can hide behind the sarcasm and fail to engage. There's also those that are fools, those that know the right thing, and they just don't want to do it. And the antidote for that is to start doing it. If you know what's right, do it. But there's a fourth category. And this is the category that Proverbs is all about, and the thing that we're encouraging each other to, especially this month, is the wise. Those that seek after wisdom, that seek after knowledge, that begin with the fear of the Lord. This sense of God is real, God is a part of my life. I have I have a respectful reverence for God. He's bigger than me. He doesn't need my advice, but I need his. He doesn't need my guidance, but I need his, and so I'm seeking him. I'm seeking after him. I'm looking for knowledge, like you might have even been reading today, to seek it like silver, like treasure. Anyways, today I want to quickly look at actually a passage that many of you are going to be reading on Wednesday, and it's one of the major themes that shows up in the book of Proverbs, and I'm kind of going a little ahead of the congregation, I guess, as we go here, but we're going to be looking at chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and today I want to read out of the Message translation. I'm usually an NIV guy, but I just love how the Message paraphrase puts it, because it's talking about an issue that is one of the most frequently discussed issues in Scripture. You'll find it repeatedly in Proverbs. It's the second most frequent topic that Jesus talked about, and that's money. You want to know what somebody values? Look at their bank account. Look at their checkbook. You want to know what I care about? You look at my bank statements and you'll see the things that I value. And so how we handle money and whether our money is submitted to the Lord is a very big deal. And in particular, Proverbs talks about the dangers of debt. And so here we go. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Dear friend, Solomon writes to his readers, if you've gone into hawk with your neighbor or locked yourself into a deal with a stranger, if you've impulsively promised the shirt off your back, you just had to have it, it looks so good on the showroom floor, and you now find yourself shivering out in the cold, friend, don't waste a minute. Get yourself out of that mess. You're in that man's clutches. Go, put on a long face, act desperate. Don't procrastinate. There's no time to lose. Run, run, run like a deer from the hunter. Fly like a bird from the trapper. Pretty strong language. Around the room, you'll see some of the slogans that you probably come into contact with on a daily basis. 0% interest, or 6 months interest free, no money down, easy credit. Just get it out there so that you can have it today. And you know, the average family in America today is somewhere in the neighborhood of about $16,000 in debt, with consumer debt. You know, things like, you know, credit cards, car loans, where it's money that's being paid in interest for things that are going down in value. So not an appreciating asset like a home, but a depreciating asset like an iPod or like a car. Money that Dave Ramsey would call dumb debt, because, you know, by the time you finished having this item and it's completely yours and you completely own it, you've actually paid a lot more than it's worth, right? Now, one of the statistics that's also out there, and so the average American family, you know, based on that roughly $16,000 of consumer debt, would be paying approximately $2,400 a year in consumer debt-related interest. So credit card companies, payday loan places. The average American family gives to charity approximately $1,200 a year. So in other words, we are paying twice as much on average, and you may be better than average, you may be worse than average, you may be average, I don't know where you are. Twice as much to credit card companies as you do to charity. And I was just kind of dreaming this week. And I know this dream does not make a lot of sense, or doesn't answer all the questions, but I want to just imagine this with me. Okay? What if people got out of debt? And you didn't change anything else in society. I mean, taxes didn't go up, or, you know, spending didn't go up. Nothing else changed. But the only difference is that the people that got out of debt said, hey, I'm going to give what I was paying to the credit card companies, I'm going to dedicate that to the Lord's work. What if every charity in the country would have overnight its budget tripled? Can you imagine that? Imagine if Serwinatchee Valley is there serving the family. What if their budget overnight tripled? Food banks tripled. Church income tripled. What if, like, you know how you get that stuff in the mail every single week from the credit card companies, that, you know, the just the junk mail, and you just go, oh, I see it. I feel so bad for the people that deliver the mail, because you just go, I'm just throwing away most of the stuff that arrives at my house. You can't go on the internet without, you know, the ads for the different, you know, credit cards and things like that, right? You with me? You see it on a daily basis. What if God's work had this? I mean, I realize this is an irrational thought, and I'm not even certain we should do this, but what if we could? What if God's work actually had the same kind of marketing muscle power and capacity, because we actually had triple the amount of money to work with? Can you imagine? Where the vacation Bible schools of our city, instead of, you know, all these just hardworking volunteers, we scrap it together. Yeah, we used that ribbon last year, but I'm pretty sure we can use that ribbon again this year. And yeah, we just clean this one off, it'll be fine. You know, and it's all grassroots, and we work so hard and we pull all the pieces. What if? You know, a kid goes into a children's ministry program, and it is as well stocked and well funded, you know, as the major athletic events of our country. Could you imagine? Now, I realize that if this was actually happening and people got out of debt, they'd probably also need to greatly increase your personal savings in order to really have balance. So I realize this is a bit of an irrational thought. But what if? Because, you know, I think for many of us, we actually want to give. And for many of us, we want to give more to the things that we care about the most. You know, programs that see lost people found and hurting people helped. But for many of us, we're so trapped. We're so trapped. We're paying so much in interest that we can't. We are not free. It's kind of ironic that tomorrow we're going to be celebrating our independence and our freedom as a nation. Remembering those words back in, 1776? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, or freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. We're going to be celebrating that, fireworks going off in the sky, we're going to be so excited, and at all the same time, millions and millions and millions of Americans are going to be digging a deeper hole into their own slavery, into their own bondage. I want you to do something with me, if you would. I'm not going to make you do anything with it other than just look at it. If you have a credit card in your pocket right now, just pull it out. Just pull it. Come on. I'm not going to make you give it to your neighbor or anything like that, though that would be funny. We're gonna hold an offering today. You know what I mean? So give it to your neighbor and let's give like you always wanted to give today. No, we're not gonna do that. We're not gonna do that. But just look at it. Just look at it. Okay? Just look at it. If you're not paying that credit card off in full every month, this is your trap. This is your snare. This is what it looks like. This is as dangerous to you as a foothold trap is to a bear, as a snare is to a bird. It got you. It owns you. And you're not free. Just look at it. If this card isn't paid off in full every month, you're in bondage. And God wants you to be free. Now, the passage we were looking at in Proverbs 6, I love how it puts it, because now I'm going to be right back reading to the NIV here, but it says, since you've fallen into your neighbor's hands, go to the point of exhaustion, or even to the point of humility, it's how it also gets translated. And give your neighbor no rest. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. It doesn't gloss over how hard it is to get out of debt. It's incredibly hard work. But God's on your side. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be free. It might also be a good point to remind you that there's some really great resources out there. This fall, we're getting ready to start another round of Financial Peace University. If you're interested in information on that, one of the ways you could act on this today is to say, okay, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna start this. And so starting after Labor Day, we're not certain of the exact time and all that kind of stuff. But if you'd like to be receiving information on that, on your connection card, check off that box. We'll make certain that you're in the loop for what's happening with that, because God wants you to be free. You were not made for bondage. You were not made for slavery. You were made for freedom. And you got caught. God wants you to get out. He's on your side. He's on your side. And the reason He wants us to get out, we find that, at least from the financial perspective, we find that in the verse that many of you read this morning from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth. To honor the Lord. So you're not in bondage to somebody else. You're able to say, God, I want to respond to you. I want to give to the things you care about. I want to invest myself in the things that matter to you. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. In other words, that, you know, God isn't just something that, you know, if you have a little bit left over at the end of the month, well, then maybe I'll give something. It's something to say, God, you are a financial priority in my life. That the amount that between you and me we've committed to is important to me as paying my rent. It's as important to me as having grocery money. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. And then comes this amazing promise. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. In other words, the people that are blessing to others, the people that honor God financially, are people that God says he will honor. He says he will honor. Now, I want to be really careful that we don't just assume that, you know, hey, if I give God 100, then God's going to, you know, pay me back 1,000. This isn't like a, you know, it's like not like a God pyramid scheme. And God's not like a pinata. You just whack them the right way and the candy drops. But as God becomes the first priority, first financial priority in your life, and you say, God, my life is oriented around generosity. It's oriented around being a blessing to others. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. So let's apply this to our own life. Are you in debt? Did they get you? Did they get you? Get out. Get help. Pray. Ask God to give you wisdom. And are you honoring the Lord with your wealth? With the things that God has given you? Is he a first priority in your life? Lord, you gave everything for me. Jesus tithed 100% on my behalf. He gave everything. So Lord, in grateful response to that, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to honor you with the gifts that you've given me, the financial gifts, but also the other ones. Like, I mean, I was talking to some of our School of Rock folks just before the worship service, and they're a little bit shy because they're like, "Ooh, this is my first time." Saying, you know what? If you have a talent, if God has given you a talent, you know, it's not from you. It's not about you, anyways. So you're not doing anybody any favors by repressing that talent. Not at all, because it wasn't about you. It's not even for you. God gave it to you as a gift. You need to use it. You need to use it. Whatever gifts God has given you to give, honor the Lord, the Bible says. Honor the Lord with your wealth. So just take some time before the Lord today as we pray. Is God calling you to ask for help? Is God calling you to maybe change some of your giving habits so that the Lord can truly be the first priority in your life? That you would honor the Lord with the first fruits of your crops in whatever way he's guiding you and with whatever he's given you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you've called your people to be free. And thank you, God, that as we get connected and stay connected with you, that we can experience your promise of a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh God, forgive us that we get disconnected so easily. We get distracted. We start thinking we're too busy to spend time with you. We're thinking we're too stressed or too messed up to be asking you to be leading and guiding our lives when nothing could be further from the truth. Lord, forgive us that for so many of us, we've fallen for the snares of our culture, the easy money. And we've sold ourselves to credit card companies, to payday loan places. And we belong to them when you want us to belong to you. Lord, give my sisters and brothers here that may still be struggling with that, Lord, give them the strength to break free. Lord, give them the strength to ask for and to receive some of the resources around that are available around them that can help. And Lord, may each of us, may we honor you with our wealth. May we honor you with the gifts that you've given us. God, we dream about what it could be like. What it could be like if the missions and service organizations and churches of this country were fully funded. And that there was nothing standing between them and the mission that you're calling them to. Lord, may we dream big dreams. May we dream big dreams. And may we trust you in all things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.